shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And let's pray. Father, once again, we're so very thankful for how you've written for us the accounts of that night. What happened that night when Jesus stepped out of heaven and came down to take on the body of a man and to become human, never ceased to be God at the same time. And the beginning of that life he would spend here on earth, 33 and a half years, to live a sinless life that he might go to that cross of Calvary and shed his blood for us and make a way of salvation for us. Thank you that the Bible declares your love. You loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Over to the side of the road, slams up in the park, and his daddy reaches over and he grabs that bee. You see, dad could withstand the sting of the bee. The boy couldn't. Here's the point. Jesus could handle death. He went into the grave and he overcame it. He could handle it. We couldn't. And he took the sting of death for us. Now death don't have any sting for us. You know, once a bee stings you, he can't sting again. Yellow jacket can, but a bumblebee, once he stings you, he's done. And the old devil stung Jesus, and now he's done. He got no power. He got no more sting for us who are saved. And thank God for it. I'm telling you, we need to rejoice because death's sting has been removed. And then we need to sing joy to the world. God's plan is being carried out. You see, I mentioned how way back in the Old Testament, it started talking about Jesus and about the fact God's going to send one. And then we get over to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, and Paul writes this, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Listen, when the fullness of time was come, do you realize God had this all planned out before the very foundations of the world? And God knew the exact day, the exact hour, the exact instant that Jesus would leave heaven and come and be born and then live that life and die. God had all that planned. God has a plan being worked out through the ages. Why? Why do we read about all that in the Old Testament about His coming future? And then we read in the New Testament how He came and then after He resurrected and went to heaven. What's that all about? Well, here's what it's all about. God had a plan for man's salvation before man ever sinned. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't say, Uh-oh, what am I going to do now? Oh, they messed everything up. Now what do I do? No. You see, before he ever created Adam and Eve, and by the way, God created everything. I don't care what the university says. I don't care what the pea brain intellectual says. My Bible says God spoke it into existence. And he took the dust of the ground and he formed Adam and made him a man. And then he took the rib out of Adam and created woman. And he brought the woman to Adam because he said man ought not to be alone. And Adam took one look at her and you know what he said? He said, "Whoa, man." And now we have woman. But God did all that. He created. And when he created them, he knew that they were going to sin against him. You say, why didn't he stop them? Well, God's given all this, this thing that gets us in trouble. It's called free will. See, God didn't say Adam and Eve, he didn't make them not sin. He gave them a choice. He said, you can eat of everything in the garden, but you cannot eat of that tree. They had to make a choice. Will we obey God or not? And they disobeyed God. And of course, we know the rest of the story. But see, God had a plan. He said, I know they're going to sin, but I'm going to make a way. And he made that way. And he's carrying out that plan all through the Bible. We see it opening up. We see it happening. As we read through the Old Testament, we get to the New Testament, we find out, here's more of the plan. When the fullness of time was come. By the way, you know, God has a plan. He's still working his plan. It didn't end when Jesus came. God's plan didn't end when Jesus was resurrected. See, God's plan is continuing today. You say, well, what's the rest of his plan? I'm glad you asked. Next thing is the rapture. If you don't know what the rapture is, here's what it is. We think it's going to be soon. Nobody knows when this is going to happen. But Jesus is going to come in the clouds and he's going to call his church, save people out of this world. At that instant, every saved person in the entire world is going to disappear. We're going to go to heaven. That quick, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, listen, that quick it's going to happen. And we'll be gone, gone, gone. And boy, the unsaved are going to be looking around. Where'd they go? He was here a minute ago. Huh? But that's going to happen. You say, you really believe that? I absolutely do, because Jesus said it's going to happen. The Bible teaches it's true. And that's the next thing that's coming. By the way, it could happen today. It could happen 1,000 years from now. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we better be ready. See, if you're not saved, you're not going. If you're not saved, you're going to stay here. You say, well, so what? So what? Read the book of Revelation. You see, when that rapture happens, then all that stuff you read about in Revelation, all those horrible, horrible things are going to start happening here on earth. 7 years worth. It's going to be hell on earth. God's wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. 7 years. And you'll have to go through it. You know, it's going to get so bad during that time, the Bible says there are men will want to die but won't be able to. Boy, is that horrible. But see, God's plan is unfolding. The rapture is going to happen. The tribulation is going to happen. Then Jesus is going to come back. He's going to defeat the Antichrist and all the forces of the world. He's going to set up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You know, when that happens, the devil's going to be chained in a pit for 1,000 years. Yes, hallelujah. He gets his. And then he'll be loose for a little while. And then he's going to be cast in a lake of fire to burn forever and ever. See, that's God's plan. God has it all mapped out. And this is just another part of that sequence. And we need to understand that. And then we need to sing joy to the Lord because salvation now has come to man. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Watch this. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, the way of salvation is not in religion. You know, I've shared with you, I was raised as a Roman Catholic. My mom was Roman Catholic. My dad, I don't know what my dad was. He never really told us. He had been Methodist and Salvation Army for a while. I don't even know if my dad was saved. There's a possibility, I don't know. He had been around gospel preaching groups when he was a youngster. When he was my dad, he sure didn't live a Christian life. So I don't know. But anyway, I was raised Roman Catholic, and you know, I went to the catechism, and I made that confirmation or first Holy Communion and all that. Went through all that, and but you know, it was empty for me. And as a youngster, I wasn't even a teenager yet, and I figured out, there's something wrong about this. It just don't add up to me. And so, you know, we didn't go to church much anyway, and I was a Christmas and Easter Christian. Yeah, I'd go twice a year, Christmas and Easter. But then I met my wife, she was saved, she was going to a Bible preaching church, she invited me to go, and I went. I heard about Jesus. And it took me a little while, but I came to realize I needed Him. You see, the fact that you know, I was a Roman Catholic and I was baptized a Roman Catholic and all that, it wasn't going to save me. See, I realized when I stand before God, same as everybody else, He's not going to ask you, what religion were you? No. And He's not going to say, when He says, why should I let you into heaven? You're not going to say, oh, I was a good person. See, because good people, being a good person, don't get you into heaven. See, the only answer to that question, if God were to ask you that, is, I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put my faith in Him, not me. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of God has been offered to us. Now, we're at Christmas and we're thinking about gifts, right? I won't ask how many of you are anticipating a gift under the Christmas tree. Huh? Ah, Christmas is for kids. Yeah, but we're all kids. We're just big kids. Huh? But think about this. Now, I used this illustration last week, but the idea of gifts is so prevalent today. But, you know, somebody is going to buy you a gift. They're going to go. They're going to pay for it. They're going to procure it, wrap it up, put it under the tree. Now, Christmas morning, they say to you, here's a gift. Now, you got to make a decision. You're going to receive it or reject it. See, that's all you can do with a gift. You either receive it or you reject it. Now this morning God says to you, I'm offering you a gift. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God says, hey, I love you. By the way, He loves every one of us. God loves you. And He says, I'm providing a gift for you. Here's the gift of salvation. Salvation is in my Son, Jesus Christ. Not in church, not in baptism, not in good works, not anything I do. It's in Jesus Christ. Will you receive my gift? And you got to make a decision. You're either going to receive it or reject it. I told you February 22nd, 1974, I received the gift. You say, how'd you do that? I just prayed. I said, Lord, I need Jesus. I want Him in my heart and in my life. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my... That's how you receive Him. You open your heart to Him. Listen, salvation has now come to man. Man was in sin. Man was separated from God. But Jesus came and He said, I am the way. Now you have an opportunity to be reconciled to God. You have an opportunity to have fellowship with God. But it must be through me. Salvation has come to man. Every man, woman, and child in this world is now offered that gift. Jesus is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Joy to the world. Listen, the message of Christmas is joyous, not just because a baby was born in Bethlehem, but because of what that represented. It represented now God had sent His Son who was now going to live that sinless life and die for us. That God's plan was unfolding to reconcile man to Him. That the way was being provided. We sing joy to the world, but do we really know why we're singing? It's more than Christ is born. It's that He's come to be man's Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, a lot of people are going to celebrate Christmas this week. They'll have Christmas trees and lights and, you know, the big meals and all that. And I'm not against any of that. But listen, the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of joy to the world is that Jesus has now come to be the Savior of mankind. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you know Him as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life where you admitted to God that you're a sinner? You said, I'm a sinner. Yeah, we all are. Look around you. Every person in this room is a sinner, including a preacher. See, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In God's eyes, we're all sinners. And you see, there's a penalty for our sin, and that's hell. For the wages of sin is death, and that death, it has the idea of being separated from God forever. So if God's in heaven and you're separated Him from forever, where are you? For the wages of sin is death. Listen, that's what we deserve. A wage is something you earn. We deserve hell because we're sinners. We violated God's law. But the Bible says, but, that same verse, the gift of, oh, there's that gift again. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And listen, if you've never been saved today, right now God is saying to you, here's my son. He's a gift. You don't have to work. It's not about church, not about baptism, not about being a good person. It's about what He did. He went to that cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He paid the debt you couldn't pay for you. And He'll save you if you'll receive Him. If you'll ask Him. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus knocks at the door of every one of our hearts. He wants to save us, but He won't force Himself. He says, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. But we have to open the door. We have to say, yes, I want You in my heart and in my life. And He'll come in, and He'll save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, watch this, shall be saved. And you know that word shall, no doubt about shall. Doesn't say might be saved, could be saved, possibly saved. No, it says shall be saved. Listen, friend, Christmas season. Gift giving, gift receiving. But the best gift you could possibly receive is Jesus Christ as your Savior. The salvation that God offers you. It means your sins are forgiven. It means heaven will be your home. It means the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you, in your heart, and in your life forever and ever. The greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. And He wants to save you. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? Now, a lot of folks in this room have come to Christ. We know that. Some of you, we've helped lead you to Christ. But I don't doubt there's folks in this room who have never come to Christ. Maybe you've not even heard this message before. But listen, today Jesus wants to save you. He loves you, and He died for you. And He will save you. He promised. But you got to come to Him. You got to be willing to admit you're a sinner and you need Him, and you got to open your heart's door and say, Jesus, I want You in my heart and in my life. Forgive me. Be my Savior. And if you'd be willing to do that, He said He would save you. Now that your head's bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking but me, all right? Privacy for these folks. Now listen, I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to come to where you are, but I'm going to ask you this. You're here this morning and you've never been saved. You don't know for sure, based on the Bible, that when you die, you're going to heaven. You don't remember a time in your life where you opened your heart to Jesus Christ. You have no assurance that He lives in you. Right now you say, preacher, that's me. I've never been saved. but I'm hearing about it, and I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. Here's my hand. Would you just slip it up? I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Preacher, God spoke to me today. I need to receive that gift of salvation. That's my need. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? You're willing to admit it. That's me, preacher. I see that hand and that hand. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. Listen, the Holy Spirit's speaking to folks here today. It might be you. Will you obey Him? Will you listen to Him? Jesus loves you and wants to save you. You need to open that door. Preacher, that's me. I need to get saved today. I want to get saved today. Here's my hand. I've never done that. But I want to know. I want to know. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. Anyone else? Another question. Christian, you're saved. And God's given that gift not just to you, but to the whole world. Have you been faithful to share that with other people? Have you been willing to tell other people the good news, joy to the world, and help them to come to Jesus? How many with your heads bowed and your eyes closed say, Preacher, I think I'm pretty adamant about trying to witness to people and talking about Jesus. Here's my hand as a testimony. I try as best I can to tell people about Jesus. You put your hand down. How many would say, Preacher, I haven't been as adamant as I need to be. I have the joy that joy to the world talks about, but I haven't been sharing it with many people. I need to get busy. We don't know when that rapture is happening, and those left behind, oh, terrible for them. Preacher, here's my hand. I need to be a better witness. I'm asking God to help me today. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hands are going up. God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand together.